Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, the one we worship this holy day. Amen. I want to talk about the epistle reading today, 1 Corinthians 8, some wonderful lessons here for the church and love. Let us pray. Lord, open our ears, open our minds, open our hearts, always to receive your holy word with faith and joy. Grant us all the Holy Spirit now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Billy Graham, the great evangelist, once said, if you think you found the perfect church, by all means, don't join it, because then it'll become imperfect. His point, of course, being there's no perfect church. The church is full of sinners. Only Christ himself is the perfect one among us. And because the church is full of sinners, there'll be conflict, there'll be divisions, there'll be hurt feelings, there'll be offense taken, tears, anger, arguments. We're sinners. No perfect church, be it First Lutheran or any other church around. And for that matter, not just the church family, but our individual families are the same way. There's no perfect family. And when you read 1 Corinthians, and the text today is 1 Corinthians 8, you quickly learn the Corinthian church was far from perfect. I'm glad 1 Corinthians is there because they are a very problematic church for St. Paul. And read 1 Corinthians, there's one problem after another problem after another problem he addresses with the church. And here in chapter 8, it is the problem of eating food sacrificed to idols. We don't understand that problem today. We don't really have that today. It was common in the Gentile churches in Paul's day, where you had Gentiles that worshipped other gods now becoming Christians. And all over the place there was food that had been offered or sacrificed to idols because there were idolatrous temples all over the city. And so the question, can a Christian eat that food sacrificed to an idol previously or not? And those that were wise and more mature said, certainly, well, yes, it's just food. Who cares whether it was sacrificed to an idol or not? There really is an idol anyway. We all know that idol doesn't exist. It's a stone or a piece of wood, and only there's one God, the Trinity. And so that food's not going to poison you somehow. It's not going to hurt you spiritually. Go ahead and eat it. It's your Christian freedom. What's it matter? As Paul says, food, if we don't eat it, doesn't hurt us. If we eat it, doesn't help us. It's just food for the stomach. Then you had your weaker Christians in the congregation that felt like they were sinning, felt like they were maybe committing to some degree idolatry again, and they didn't want to offend God. It went against their conscience. And so as you see the text, there's division on this, and you can see in the text there's hurt feelings, there's anger, there's sides being drawn, and Paul the Apostle is trying to address it with this congregation. It's having a little bit of a fight over this, if not a large one. There's no perfect church. We sin. And the question is, what do we do about it? What do we do about it? I'm never worried that much if there's conflict in the church. It happens. Sometimes I'm the source of it. We don't want it to happen, but it happens. What I'm worried about is, what do we do about it? And there are really three responses that a church can have, that a Christian can have when you're upset, when there's hurt feelings. First of all, you can move on. Secondly, you can shove back. Or thirdly, you can love. And love some more. And love some more. That there be peace again. But first of all, when there's anger, hurt feelings, I'm going to move on. Hear that a lot today. I'll just move on. I'm angry, I'm hurt, we're divided, all this, I'm moving on. I'll just go to a different church. I'll just leave. I'll just move on. Or if I stay in the church, I'm not going to talk to that person anymore. I just won't talk to them. I won't deal with them. They won't talk to me. We'll stay to each other's hair. We won't fight anymore. Just move on that way. Avoid each other. You be over there, I be over there. We just stay away from each other because we don't get along. And it saddens me because sometimes we kind of think this is Christian. You know, God doesn't want us to fight, so it's a Christian thing to do to go ahead and leave and move on. Or separate and avoid each other and give each other the cold shoulder. And this is far from Christian. This totally contradicts the gospel of Jesus Christ that we stand upon. It's totally unchristian. Because it contradicts the gospel. God didn't move on from us. The gospel is not that God tolerates us. You be down there, I'll be up here, we'll just stay out of each other's hair. That's not the gospel. The gospel isn't a division of lines. You do that, I'll do this, let's just stay away because we don't get along. That's not the gospel. It may create some temporal peace, but it's not the gospel. The gospel that we stand on is that God reconciled us to Himself. We are back with God. God's our friend. God's our Father. We're part of His family. God forgives us and forgives us, has made peace with us, and so we're one family. That's the gospel. We are one, not divided, but we're one in Christ. That's the gospel. And so this idea that I'll move on and take all my anger to the next church or go on here, that contradicts all of it. And who would want to join such a church where they'd all hate each other anyway? You've heard of Marshall Lynch, haven't you? I know some have not. He is a running back for the Seattle Seahawks. Very good. He doesn't like the media. He doesn't like to give, he doesn't like to answer reporters' questions or give an interview. But on Tuesday of this week, he was demanded, it's media day at the Super Bowl, you have to give interviews or else you're going to be fined like $100,000. So he stood before the reporters, and what did he say 29 times if you're a football fan? Every question asked him, whatever it was, he said, I'm just here so I don't get fined. I'm just here so I don't get fined. 29 times he said the same thing, I'm just here so I don't get fined. He was there, but he wasn't really there. Are you here, but not really here? And are you saying, I'm just here, but I won't forgive? I'm just here, but I won't forgive so-and-so. I'm just here, but I won't forgive. I'll be here, but I won't forgive. I'm drawing a line, and that's not Christian. Christianity's forgiveness and peace. We can move on or we can shove back. This is worse. I'm going to get revenge. I'm going to uphold my rights and show I'm right and the other guy's wrong. I'm going to get even. And I have a hunch a little bit of that was taking place in Corinth. I can imagine the talk of the two groups. Those that were wiser and more knowledgeable, that knew that the eating of the food was okay, it wasn't going to hurt them, they probably looked down on the other group and said, you need to grow up, you weak, wimpy Christian. Grow up and understand what is right here. What's wrong with you? And I'm sure the weaker Christians are saying, well, you don't need to be so arrogant and think you're right on everything all the time. Why don't you be more humble? Often we fight back in the church. We shove back by gossip. In 25 plus years of ministry, I learned, we usually don't just slug it out. We don't want that either. But the way we get back is just to gossip. I'll just talk bad about that person behind their back, and I'll get a coalition on my side so the people on my side, they don't like that person either. And so we cause great, great destruction in the Christian church by our mouth, by the tongue, by our gossip, criticism, lying, slandering. Even if we speak the truth sometimes, the truth is just there to harm the other person and make them look bad. And I can imagine the gossip in the Corinthian church. Luther loved the illustration that I like too of two mountain goats on a mountain. If you have two mountain goats and they're on the side of a mountain and they come together face to face, one's going this way, one's going that way. What do they do if there's not room to pass by each other and there's only one, a path is only for one goat? You can't pass by. What do? Well, they can do this. They can clash heads. It's my way. I'm going through. And the other guy goes, no, I'm going through. And they clash heads. And then what happens? They both fall off a mountain and they die. But here's what mountain goats normally do. One will humble themselves and lie down and let the other walk over it. Will you be that humble person? if you have an argument, a fight in this family or in your current family or wherever, will you be that humble person and lie down? We'll do it your way. Because I don't want to clash and both of us die off the side of the mountain. We'll do it your way. You step over me. I'll be humble. And I love you, brother. God bless you on your way as I go this way, but God bless us all. There was one who did lay down, and his name is Jesus. And let us walk all over him to deliver us all, that we be in heaven. May we not move on? That solves nothing. May we not shove back? That just creates bigger problems. May we, as the Apostle Paul says here, love. This is the Christian church. We love and we love and we love and we love because God so loves us. We have to love each other. We're compelled to love each other. We're obligated to love each other. We must love each other. There's that inner must, that inner compelling. God so loves me, a sinner. I will love you, brother or sister, and do all it takes that we have peace, love. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Notice in this short text of 13 verses, the name God or Lord or Jesus or Christ in this short little text appears about 8 times, I counted. 8 times Paul mentions God or Lord or Christ. He's referring to Corinthians, you write to God, to the Lord, pointing us to God, to the Lord. As if he's saying, remember who you belong to. Remember the God who made you, the God who saved you. Remember Jesus who died for you on the cross and saved you and delivered you. Remember the one who rose again, the one who's in your midst, the one who called you in your baptism. Remember that God who is full of love for you. And now, be united in him. As he has made peace with you, make peace with each other. Come on, folks. And notice 4 times he uses the word brother, too. At the very end of the text. And so by your knowledge, this weak person is destroyed, the brother for whom Christ died. Thus sinning against your brothers and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat lest I make my brother stumble. He's reminding them, your brothers, your sisters, your family, that fellow church member is not just a stranger, an acquaintance, a nobody to you. It's your brother or sister in Christ. You're part of God's family. You're the baptized. You come to this table and eat of this food. Maybe you don't want to eat the food sacrificed to idols or not, but you all eat of this food, the body and blood of Jesus, the holy food, the forgiving food, the food of peace, the food of salvation. Now make peace with each other as you partake of Christ, the Lamb. He refers them back to Jesus, to their brotherhood and sisterhood in Jesus. And Paul is not demanding here as much as he's appealing, begging. Come on. I mean, you can't demand love. You can't command love. It's just an appeal, a begging, love each other. Please, be brothers and sisters. Please, make peace for the sake of Christ and for the church. Please. You know how many chicken wings will be eaten today? Well, someone predicted 1 billion. That's right, B, billion chicken wings. How families and friends will enjoy around the table, around the TV set, eating chicken wings. The great uniter of mankind, the chicken wing. That's the best the world can do. Chicken wings and a bottle of beer, let's unite. Here we don't have 1 billion of anything, we have 1 lamb. We gather around 1 lamb who was slain, who sacrificed himself. For all my sins, all your sins, brothers and sisters, the sins of the whole world, we eat of that lamb, drink of that lamb's blood. And that lamb is the Son of God who's conquered all. Can we not find peace in this Jesus at the cross? You know what the happiest nation is? You probably heard this. I heard it on the radio again this week. The happiest nation in the world is Denmark. Now, why Denmark? Well, on the radio this week, they say one reason why the people of Denmark are so happy is they don't work so hard. Only 2% of people in Denmark work a 40-hour week or longer. 2%. Meaning we Americans just work too hard. We're stressed out. We're too busy. Relax a little bit in life. Okay? I'm here to say the Christian church has to work really, really hard. And often this is more than 40 hours a week. It's called the hard, hard work of Christian love. And make no mistake about it, Christian love is hard. Look at a cross. Look at what God did for us at a cross. Look at the hard work of God's Son to deliver us. And so the work of love is hard, friends. It's not easy to love someone, especially when you're divided. It's to listen and listen and look to their needs. What is your need, brother? What is your need, sister? What's really in you that you need right now? I want to stand in your place and love you as my brother here. Love you as myself. It's the hard work of listening, communicating, praying, and forgiving, and forgiving, and forgiving, and forgiving 70 times, 7 times, because I've been forgiven. It's making peace, and that sometimes takes longer than 40 hours a week to make peace in your own family and the church family. But oh, when we make peace, and we love, oh, the happiness, and oh, the satisfaction, and oh, the peace that I got my brother back. And we're one. There will be fights in the church. There'll be hurt feelings. There'll be offense. We don't want it to happen. It'll happen. Maybe you sit in the pew and it's happened to you. Don't move on. It solves nothing. Don't shove back and make things worse. Love. For love covers a multitude of sins. Amen. We stand.